begin the current daf and sech the ksubis of samachal, begin the maratha, begin the master, begin the gemara, hechnisle shitcha achas. If she brings into the marriage one maidservant, so then we diminish the amount of work she has to do for her husband. Which says, ksas tem, it's a little bit of a wonder. If the husband has to feed that maidservant, what exactly is the husband gaining that the wife is bringing the shivcha? To the contrary, to blaze shivcha without a maidservant, he always says, the wife would have to have done everything. He would only have to feed his wife. The son has to feed her and the maidservant. So what is he gaining that he has to go ahead and diminish the amount of work that the wife has to do? Next says, and one is where if she contracts from her own, there's two ways, either when she brings the maidservant or she contracts from what she needs, which the amount of the maidservant, that's its equivalent. Places Gesina, that's what the gears is. Pirish. Timtimaloi, she contracts, she minimizes for him, Mimashu Chayv Leitin Law, what he really has to give her, Kamai Kupish al Basamish Adram, like the box of perfume and other things that the husband has an obligation to give to her. But Timtimo Kolkach, and she minimizes so much, that she saved up so much from what he's not spending on her, the amount of how many, like so many maidservants that she could have brought in. That's the Gisa and the interpretation of Rabbeinu Tam. So that's also equivalent as if she brought in maidservants. Now, B'yeshkar is from some of the Gisa, not she tzimtzma, but she matzah loy mishaloy. What does that mean to say? That it's found for him from his? He's a wealthy person. He could buy many maidservants according to what she needs. And that's the equivalent as if she has those maidservants. And again, therefore, that's the equivalent of having brought in maidservants. But even if she has so many maidservants, but she still has to make the beds for him, and she has to pour him the cup. But although we said in the Mishnah that if she has three maidservants, she doesn't have to make the bed for him. So what are you saying? She still has to make the bed for him. So he says, I wrote in the beginning of the Mishnah, it's not like the same making the bed in the Mishnah. There's two types. One is the laborious process. One is the love making type. And the lovemaking type, you have to do even if you have. The laborious one, the difficult one, you don't have to do if you have three maidservants. The next test is not the beginning of the for the base of the other dismala. So that a woman, when she's a nida, is not allowed to do for her husband certain endearing acts. And one of them is pouring the cup. So what the wife of Shmuel did, she would hand it to him with the left hand, and that would be permitted. And that would be some type of bashinah. In the Magzavitri, Pishra Rabbi Bishmaya explains, Shayin is a Rashi. The Rashi was careful. Not even to hand over a key from his hand to her hand, what we call harchakas. That was something that where he was careful to make as prohibited in the days of Nida, from husband to wife. Now, Mekan ain't right, but says Taisa, from here, from our Gemara, there's no proof, which sounds like that's the same idea, that they were being careful not to hand from hand to hand. No, the Shana Mizik is Kais, because pouring the cup is different. Where that's a very endearing act. And that we find Basura, that's from Nafilah Hevi Lefan al Shulchan, even to put directly in front of the person on the table, let alone handing from hand to hand. El Radal Mar Mantra Abbeisadia, one would put it by the pillow, or the bar, or the Mar Puma, the Kubba, one put it on the opening of the barrel. But that's something unique of the pouring of the cup, but no Raya of the Harchak of passing from person to person. Now, moreover, says Taisus, "Umiseder Eliyahu Diktani." It's in Tanya Eliyahu, the brisa teaches of the Beit Kavod. Who Uvda? There was a story. The Ma'aser Perikam. The Shabbos burned the first Perikam. Shabbos Abi Gimel Beis. But Mechat Shekara Harbe Pshon Harbe Vechul. It was a Talmud Chacham that learned a lot and studied a lot, etc. And he passed away, and his wife was all upset. And she was standing around his tefillin saying, "How could it be?" It says, "Ki Chayecha Bechemech." How could it be he passed away? So no one had what to say, and she came to Eliyahu Novi. Leishti, asked the wife, maybe you brought him a flask, maybe you went and you brought him oil, and this was during your days of your nida. And she said to him, heaven forsake, even with his pinky, he didn't touch me, which seemingly over here, you would see this idea that you're not allowed to pass from one person to another one. Says Taisus, no. Nami in right, there's also no proof from here. The Mitzin Lavash, you could explain the Shaloya Lavois Apachoyimak, but what Elyonov was particular about was not regarding the passing of the flask from the husband and the wife. Elohachikam, what he was saying was, Shem Beshas Lavois Apach, maybe when you were bringing the flask, Loin Nisharta Venogabech, maybe you weren't careful and he touched you. So it's regarding the touching, which is forbidden. And actually, it sounds like this from her response. that she responded to him, that even what his pinky didn't touch me. So it's regarding the touching. But regarding that she didn't bring anything to him to pass from heart to him, that she didn't say. And that would sound like, because that's not a problem. Now, Umasha Pigish, and this is Rashi explains over here, that the Mechafai lay beyond the smaller, that the wife of Shmuel would pass it, would put it in front of him with her left hand. And Rashi says, B'mele Buna, in her white days, which refers to the Shibanakim, the seven clean days, Mashma sounds like Shesh Lahakal, that you would have thought to be lenient, B'mele Buna, B'mele Nidusa, that in her Shibanakim days, more than the days of Nida, when she's actually menstruating, the Shabbos, it sounds like from the first parak of Shabbos also, but Abahu Obda, in that story of Yisrael that I brought before, because the Kama Elyonu said to her, what was he with you in the days of when you actually were menstruating, when you're having blood? And in the days of when you're white, which a woman has to wait with seven clean days, that there's no dam, what was he next to you? Sounds like that, oh, there is somewhat of a leniency in those days. Because in those days, they had a custom that they would table after 7 days when she had her discharge, when she stopped having discharge, where delay sira hashtag and abundance. So it comes out now, because really this that we wait Shabbanakim is not the biblical halach of Nida. It's only rabbinic decree with a geyser because of concerns of confusing things. Where so it comes out if she immersed 7 days after having stopped, even if she didn't have Shabbanakim yet, that biblically, she's already tar, and it's only rabbinic, and therefore it is somewhat of a lesser severity, and that's what we see that the main libuna it's more cup. But says Tyson, today's time she where no one goes to a mikvah until after 7 clean days. So in chilik you may need the main libun. There's no difference between days of need and day libun. When the pasuk says, which means that she's going to be in her state of nida, so there is no difference between minida and yimei libun. It was only there where by the yimei libun that she had already tabled as the halachas of nida, and therefore it's only rabbinically as a nida, and therefore that's why we find leniency. But really, there's no active leniency. There's no difference. You're still considered a full-fledged nida, even in Yimei Libun. Because according to biblical law, a woman could be menstruating for all the 7 days, and all that she has to do is stop right before the end of the seventh day, and then table, and then she's biblically tar. The halacha of Shem Nekim is only rabbinic as a confusion for the halacha of Zavah.